about benedictions. You know, when I was raised in the church, at the end of the altar service, somebody would be asked to pray the prayer of benediction, or would you dismiss our service? And so in the scriptures, there are several benedictions throughout the scriptures. There are more than eight. I'm only preaching on eight. These are the eight hot ones. And there are many others. We could do a sermon a week on it, of the different benedictions. There's a ton of them in the Psalms. And maybe in my final sermon, I'll just hit all of them as much as I can. Or maybe even type them up and give them to you. Because these words speak over you. Benediction, to benefit, to decree. And words mean something in our lives. And so the benediction usually comes at the conclusion of a message or a thought. And so just let me, Brother David, go through the ones we've covered. If you have those ready, just give me a thumbs up. But first of all, you don't have any of it ready, that's fine. You just put on your seatbelt tonight. We're going to go through them real quick. Numbers chapter 6 is the benediction of favor. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Then in Romans 15 and 13, the benediction of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then there's the benediction of the Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The benediction of grace. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. And then last Sunday night, the benediction of peace. When Paul talked about taking on the whole armor of God, he concluded with peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So, Brother David, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Would you stand with me tonight as we go to the next benediction? And I call it the benediction of integrity. We're hearing a lot of sad news. We're hearing a lot of bad news. We're hearing a lot of fake news. But tonight I want to preach to you the good news. And that God is on the throne. And the Holy Trinity is not in emergency session. And the Father is not wringing his hands. He is up to something in this church, in our lives. I want you to say amen to the word of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And Brother David, just give me a thumbs up if you've got it. And now will you receive the benediction. And read it out loud with me. 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Next verse. Faithful is he that calleth you who will do it. And thank you, Lord, for the benediction of integrity. Bless your word. Speak now in Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored. Speak over them tonight. And I like to do this before I get started. I want you to clap. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. So we're at the conclusion of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. This is the church at Thessalonica. That's why we call it Thessalonians. And I don't have time to give you the details, but what was going on there is that those early Christians in Thessalonica, they lived with such an acute knowing that the Lord was going to come. It was first, foremost, and primary. They were under severe persecution. They knew the promise of the Lord's return, and they just lived in moment by moment. Any minute, Jesus is returning. By the way, really, that's the way we should all be living. Can I get an amen? And really, that's what preachers should be preaching. Can I get an amen? But the problem was that some of their loved ones were starting to die. The Lord had delayed his coming. And we know even now he has delayed his coming for a purpose. And so some of their loved ones begin to die. And somebody began to say things to them that, you know, if your loved one dies, they won't meet the Lord. They won't see the coming of the Lord. That when they die, they just die. And so Paul writes this letter. And he lets them know unequivocally that the Lord is coming. Don't let people trouble you. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. It says plainly, Paul said, I want you to know that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which have died or fallen asleep, that you sorrow not either, even if others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Quit pouting, quit doubting. Your loved ones may be gone, but brother and sister, there's a getting up morning, and we're all, when Gabriel's trumpet blows, going to meet the Lord in the air, and we are to shout about the coming of the Lord. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. This is the doctrine of the rapture. And to be quite honest with you, that we need to be preaching it more, and never has it been preached and believed less. So when you read 1 Thessalonians, the subject of the coming of the Lord is primary. Paul is trying to give them hope. And really, you could say the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you read the whole book, it wouldn't take long to read it, really could be summed up in this question. How should we live in the light of his soon return? That is a good question. For Brother David, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 answers that question. He answers this corporately. How should we as a church live in the light of the soon coming of the Lord? Now, Brother David is going to display verses 11 through 22 in the King James Version. But I'm actually going to read it from the Living Bible. And I want you to see it, and I want you to hear it in the modern translation. So how should we live corporately as a church? Well, look at what Paul says. As a church, turn around and tell somebody that means us. Amen. How are we supposed to act in the light of his return? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. And verse, just roll right with me, Brother David. I'm going all the way down to 22, so just roll with me. It says in the Living Bible, so encourage each other to build each other up just as you are already doing. Somebody say, that's us. Go to verse 12. Dear brothers, honor the officers of your church who work hard among you and warn them against all that is wrong. Go to verse 13. Think highly of them and give them your wholehearted love because they are straining to help you. And remember, no quarreling among yourselves. And remember, now this is what we're supposed to do, be at peace among ourselves. Verse 14. Dear brothers, warn those who are lazy. Comfort those who are frightened. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Verse 15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone else. Verse 16. Always be joyful. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is how we're supposed to be. Verse 17. Keep on praying. Yeah. Verse number 18. No matter what happens, be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I love verse 19 in the Living Bible. It says, quench not the Spirit. In the Living Bible, it says, do not smother the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Do not scoff at those who prophesy. How many of you know God's got a word for the church and a word for us? Verse 21. Test everything that is said to be sure that it is true. And if it is, accept it. Verse 22. Keep away from evil. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love. We're called to forgive. We're called to let the Holy Ghost move. We're called to prophesy. We're called to keep things at peace among ourselves as the body of Christ. Let's live that the Lord is going to return. We ain't got time to be divided. We don't have time to be sidetracked. We don't have time to suppress the moving of the Spirit. Now more than ever, we need God to work and move in this corporate body. I'm glad to be a part of the church of God, of the saints of the Most High. I was glad when they said, let me come into the house of the Lord. You're my brother. You're my sister. Take me by the hand. Together, we're going ahead to the promised land. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Now that's corporately. what we're supposed to do in the light of His coming. In fact, I just sailed through those scriptures. But it ties exactly in with our pastor's message this morning. And I pray that you will read those in your private time. But I want to pivot to the what are we to do individually in light of the Lord's coming. In my own personal life. Now if we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and verse 24. And this is where we get to the benediction of integrity. Somebody say the word integrity. This is individually. And the if you're there, just give me a thumbs up. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless. When? Unto the what? Coming of the Lord. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you who will do it. Now go back to verse 23. That word whole. Somebody say the word whole. I pray your whole spirit. The word whole is where we get the word integrity from. The word integrity comes from the word or is a form of the word integer. Some of you that are in college or taking mathematics have been familiar with the integers. It just means a whole number. And so we get the word integrity. We get the word whole. God wants us to walk in wholeness. He wants us to walk in integrity. He doesn't want us to be half in, half out, half mad and half dead. He wants us to be full of God, wholly given to the Lord, wholly on fire for God, wholly in faith, even when it doesn't look like it's happening. We are to walk whole. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I'm telling you, receive the blessing of integrity. God wants to put together the pieces. He can make it whole again. Your life may be fragmented and broken, but be you blessed of the Lord. He can put together churches. He can put together ministries. He can put together all of the pain and the heartache and make you whole. God wants to bless us to be our whole body, soul, and spirit unto the coming of the Lord. How many of you are interested in that? Raise your hand if you are. So how can He put us together? How can He make us whole? Number one, point number one, we can live in integrity through God's presence. Somebody say God's presence. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the very God of peace, the very God of peace. The NCV, the New Century Version, reads it this way, and I love it. Now may God Himself, the God of peace, make you pure, belonging only to Him. God Himself. You know what? Thank God for preachers. We need preachers. We got awesome pastor. Amen. Somebody. We got great evangelists and bishops. And thank God for doctors. Sometimes we need a doctor. Sometimes God blesses through. He gives them the medical knowledge. Amen. All wisdom comes from the Lord. Thank God for bankers. Every time now and then we need a banker. Every now and then we need somebody to fix our car. We need somebody to fix our food, you know, a cook. But I'm going to tell you, when it gets all down to it, I just need God Himself. I need His presence can help me to live whole in the light of His coming. God Himself is personally with us. Not a representative, not an ambassador, not an operator. You ever called somewhere, this is the operator. You don't want to talk to the operator. You want to talk to the owner. Amen. You want to get to the person in charge. Nothing against operators. Now, I'm really dating myself. But back in the old days, you would hit zero. I remember when if you couldn't find somebody's phone number, you'd punch zero. And then it got fancy, 411. And to dial, hello, this is information. And they would charge you $2.79 just to find somebody's phone number. Thank you for the blessing of Google. And all of God's people said amen. But I'm telling you, we have God Himself that's with us. God Himself. A little boy was very uneasy about the sounds of thunder and lightning he saw. So as his mother was putting him to bed, he asked if she would sleep with him because, "Mommy, sleep with me. I'm afraid." She said, "Son, I can't do that. I'm going to go to bed with your father. You'll be all right." "Oh, Mommy, please, please." no, son, I'm going to go to bed and sleep with your father. You'll be fine. And things got quiet, and a few more moments later, the little boy looked back at his mother and said, "The big sissy." I'm telling you, God Himself will be with you. And you don't have to be afraid of the storm. He's not in some other room. And I know the lightning is flashing. And I know the battle is raging. I know the difficulties. I know there's rejection. I know there's failure. There's pain. But the very God Himself is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper by day and by night. I want you to know when Daniel was in the lion's, the lion's den, but also I'm thinking of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. I want you to know the king looked in there and saw the very God Himself, the Son of Man, with them in the flames of fire. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Say it with me, church. "For thou art with me." Say it again. "For thou art with me." Shout it out. "For thou art with me, and I am beyond blessed because I have the very presence of God in my life." Somebody say amen. Notice it calls him the God of peace. The God of peace. The God of peace. I didn't have time to throw this in here. I was a little rushed this afternoon. But I did want to, I just thought, we'll see how the flow of the service went. But you remember when Abraham was up on the mountain and was going to offer Isaac. And so Isaac says, "Daddy, I see the wood and I see the instruments to make the fire, but where is the lamb?" And if you'll go back in the King James Version, Abraham says it very specifically. He says, "Son, God will provide." Woo, you got it. God will provide. We add the word "for" in there. Just our English. God will provide for himself a lamb. No. You go back and read it. It says God will provide himself a lamb. I'm telling you, God isn't going to send a representative. When my sins need to be paid for, he provided himself on that cross of Calvary. He took the shame and the stripes. By his stripes, I am healed. The Lord is with me. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. That means he can do anything. And give him a hand of praise. He's omnipresent. The Lord himself makes you beyond blessed. So we can live in integrity through God's presence. Somebody say amen. And then go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 again. Let's unpack this. We can live in integrity through God's, not only his presence, but then it moves to his provision. What has he provided for us? And the very God of peace sanctify you, what? And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. So we have God's presence. And then number two, we have God's provision. And what has he provided? In this particular passage, he has provided this thing or this concept of sanctification. He has provided sanctification. Now, by the way, when you're talking about the coming of the Lord and the doctrine of holiness or sanctification, they are very closely entwined. And that makes sense. How many of you married men? Well, let me just use myself for an example as a married man, happily married, gloriously married, wonderfully married, working on 25 years married. And I don't hear any amens from over there. I'm going to keep saying this till I hear something move. Okay, there we go. I'm beyond blessed. Amen. I'm beyond blessed. But my wife sometimes will take these women's ministries trips and leave me for 3 or 4 days. And man, it's like me and the cat have the house to ourselves. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't make up the bed. I don't pick up my socks. When I make a sandwich, I leave the bread on the counter. And I might drink a can of Pepsi Cola. And when I go to bed, it'll be there in the morning. The can, I'll just get it in the morning. I just leave. I just kind of revert back to East Carolina dorm living. Come on now. I just go back to my old nature, teenager self. But She sends me a text message. I'll be there in about an hour. Let me tell you, me and that cat are moving, buddy. We are sweeping. We are getting the dishes washed. We are running the washer machine and dryer. And when she walks in the door, she sees a perfectly beautiful house. And as far as she knows, that's the way it was when she left. But you and I both know that at the coming of Darnell, I clean my life up. I'm talking about physically now. It's already clean spiritually. But let me tell you right now, that's what the coming of the Lord should always. We don't need to let things linger. We don't need to let something we've done wrong just kind of pat. We need to quickly ask the Lord to forgive us. We need to quickly ask others. We need to quickly win. So, by the way, we need to win souls. You know why we need to win souls? Because the Lord is coming. And the coming of the Lord sanctifies us in and of itself. Well, you can go to the book of Titus. It says that looking for the coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and every man that hath this hope in him, the scripture says, sanctifies himself or purifies himself. Now, I know that we are all mature Christians here tonight, but I'm just here to tell you, none of us made it into gold dust yet. None of us have been raptured yet. We still have to pull down imaginations and every high thing. We still live in our flesh. Flesh is flesh, no matter whose bones it owns. I'm just here to tell you that we need his provision of sanctification. We need the encouragement to be sanctified. It is both a gift and also responsibility if we're going to be effective. Somebody say effective. The most effective outreach to this lost world is a church that knows the Lord is coming. Can I get an amen? And we need to be ready. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. For this is the even what? Now, I know sanctification is a big word. It just means to be clean. It means to be set apart. And there are two sides to sanctification. Now, what do you mean? I'm going to simplify this. This is series, messages, teachings, but I'm going to simplify because of the time. But basically, understand that every man that is born, and I include women, man or woman, every person that is born comes with a sin nature that causes you to sin. Why do children steal when they've never been taught to steal? Why do children bully when they've never been taught to bully? Why? And I know your kids didn't. I'm talking about your neighbor's kid. But why do they do that? I know the kids around here are perfect and flawless. Amen. But why does all these other kids do stuff like that? You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You have to turn around and do everything in your power to teach them to do. Absolutely. Why do they? They'll lie in a heartbeat. There's a study out of Michigan, and I wish I had, if I'd had some time, I would have pulled it up for you. It's about a paragraph, but they did a study and said your child would kill you if they could get by with it, and if they were big enough to get by with it. They have that nature in them as a baby. And just understand that we're born with a sin nature that causes us to sin. And when you get saved, your sins are forgiven. Amen? Every time you stole, every time you lied, the multiplied times that you maybe committed adultery in your heart, if not in your body, the times that you broke the Sabbath day, the times that you used God's name in vain, every time you broke the Ten Commandments, every sin is somewhere, the root of that breaking that sin can be found somewhere in the Ten Commandments. But let me tell you something, that when you begin to realize that you're lost and you know that your sins, there's no way you can pay for them, and some people say, well, I'm just a good person. No, you're not. I'm not. You're not. None of us are good people. We have all sinned and come short of the glory. But here's the thing. When I got saved, all of my sins were instantly and freely and graciously washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody thank God for salvation. But the sins, as far as the penalty, was removed at salvation. You got a fresh start, clean slate. But the sin nature down beneath that causes you to sin is still there after salvation. Is it? Yes, it is. It most definitely is. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures to tell you, but it is there. Well, let me just ask you this question. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. Now, after you got saved, have you or were you or are you been tempted to sin? Raise your hand. How many of you would admit, Pastor, since I got saved, I actually have committed a sin? I mean, come on, be honest with you. I know it's hard for you to accept that, but we all should have that humility about us. Why? Because after we've been saved, the sin nature remains. So what do? Do we go through misery? Oh, you see, I know you're saved when this. Before you got saved, you would tell a lie and it wouldn't bother you. You'd like it. But after you got saved, in the process of telling something that wasn't right, all of a sudden you froze up. And you might even have finished it out, but an hour later you're like, why did I just do that? I just got saved. Before you got saved, you could have drank a can of beer and it wouldn't bother you. But after you got saved, you pop it open, start drinking. You're like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And y'all still with me here tonight? Don't look at me like that. I'm just telling you what the deal is. Before you got saved, you could tell a bad joke. And then after you got saved, you're not even thinking. You're so programmed. You start telling a kind of an off-color joke. But then you're like, wait a minute. I'm saved now. I shouldn't have done that. Because the fact that you're saved makes you stop. You just don't sin and just enjoy it. Aren't you glad of that? Amen? But what causes us to sin is the sin nature. And so what God does is he calls you back to Calvary. Just like you come to get saved, come back and get sanctified. Say that word, sanctified. That's a great word. That's a word that needs to be preached in the light of his coming. And what sanctification does is by faith, the same faith you use to get saved. Now, Lord, I still struggle with this sin nature. Would you just render that sin nature powerless? I can't do it. You said you would, and you said you would purify my heart by faith. You said you would sanctify me with your own blood shed out beyond the gate. Oh, God, it is for me. It's the children's bread. And boom, in a moment, he will by faith sanctify you. That old man will be rendered dead, and you will be free from that sin nature. And now you have victory and a greater way to overcome sin for the rest of your Christian life. If you've not been sanctified, receive the benediction tonight. And before this service is over, come to this altar and let God help you to live victoriously in Jesus Christ. Let me explain to you this way. A preacher from Haiti told one time about a man in Haiti who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man badly wanted it, but couldn't afford the full price. So after much haggling, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the asking price with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding from over the door. Y'all following me? He said, you can have the house for half price, but I got a nail over the door, and I want to retain ownership of that nail. He said, deal. So after several years, guess what? The original owner wanted his house back, but the new owner didn't want to sell it. So the first owner went out and found the carcass of a dead dog and hung it from that little nail he still owned. Soon the house became uninhabitable. The family, not long after that, forced to sell because the owner still had ownership of that nail. Let me tell you something. What sanctification does, pulls out that old nail that the devil so easily hangs those old sins in our mind. And I tell you, the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And you can live victorious, and we need to live victorious. One of the greatest witnesses we can have in our world is not always with our words, but it's with our godly lifestyle. When people mistreat us on the job, and we respond back and say, you know what, I forgive them. Man, people are like, whoa, you know, what is that? I tell you what this is. It's not Ricky Nims. It's not me. It's that sanctified blessing. I am beyond blessed with His sanctifying power. Sanctification should never make you a holier than thou, but it'll make you more humble than thou. Amen. I promise you, it'll keep you on your knees. A sanctified man is a humble man. A sanctified man is a forgiving man. A sanctified man or woman is a praying man or woman. A sanctified man or woman loves the house of God. A sanctified man or woman loves the Spirit of God. A sanctified man and woman loves to worship God. A sanctified man and woman loves to read the Word of God. A sanctified man and woman will make a difference for God. A sanctified man and woman can touch the throne of God. Oh God, help us tonight to receive the benediction of sanctification. Somebody say amen. Now, one sanctification, on one side is a crisis, but on the other side, it's a progressive everyday thing. What do you mean? So now that my sin nature is dead, now the nail's been pulled out, does that mean I'm not going to ever have temptation or sin again? No, because the problem is you're still in an evil world. The problem is you still have an outer body that won't die until you die. The problem is you've got memories in that brain. So God wants to sanctify you in a moment. But God wants to sanctify you every single day. Are y'all with me here tonight? Sanctification happens, one side of it happens in a moment. The other side happens in a lifetime. Sanctification happens in a service. Sanctification happens in a day. And another side of sanctification happens daily. You know, I got sanctified when I was a teenager. But let me tell you something else. This morning I got sanctified again. Are you with me here tonight? I thought you said that old sin nature was gone. Let me tell you something. The process of sanctification is not one of becoming more pure, but of becoming more mature. You see, I may have gotten pure when I was 15 years old, but I wasn't very mature, and I wasn't very street smart. I've learned some things. I've learned the temptation flows of Satan and myself. And let me tell you, sanctification, some diseases are cured by radical surgery. Some are by lengthy treatment. Sanctification is both. It is a radical surgery, but it's also the follow-up treatment to keep that disease under check. Are y'all with me here tonight? God does some things instantly, but other things come by process. Freedom from the dominion of sin demands an instant cure, but the maturing of the sanctified life takes time. Oh, I'm still being sanctified. I'm still growing in my faith. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to Him be glory. Romans says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what? That you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a crisis and a process. The crisis deals with purity. The process deals with maturity. The crisis deals with our sin. The process deals with our humanity. The crisis deals with our sin nature. The process deals with our human nature. Now the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming. Reach out and claim that integrity and that promise. And give Him a hand of praise here tonight. We have the integrity through God's presence. He is with me personally. And He's the God of peace. And He provides Himself. We have the integrity of God's provision. That He sanctified us. And He continues to sanctify us wholly unto the coming of the Lord. And then finally tonight, we have the integrity of God's purpose. I love this. And I'm closing. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Read it out loud. Faithful. Read out loud. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Turn around and tell somebody He'll do it. Well, what will He do? What is the it in it? And I'll just let you know when to start. Somebody say, He'll do it. Well, it immediately talks about the proceeding. When you read the Bible interprets itself. People say, I got to get this commentary. I got to pull up this. I got to pull up that. And those things are aids and can help you. But sometimes, in fact, Henrietta Mears, who wrote the great book, What the Bible's All About, that I highly recommend. I have in other pastorates given them out every time we read the Bible through. Henrietta Mears, What the Bible is All About. She wrote this back in the 50s. And by the way, if you really want to get the good version of it, go on Amazon and get a used copy and not the updated one. It's a whole lot more powerful. But I didn't got too sidetracked. But Henrietta Mears said, the Bible sure does throw a lot of light on all those commentaries, right? But listen, what does it mean? The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he that calleth you. First, go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Faithful is he that calleth you. He will do it. What will he do? A preceding verse, he will do it. He'll sanctify you wholly. And he'll preserve you blameless. So many people walk around on eggshells. I tell you what, Pastor, I just want what I needed to be at last week, and you pray for me because I feel like I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't. You know what? You're under condemnation. Let me tell you something. You don't need to walk around in fear. The God that called you and the God that saved you will perform your salvation. See, a lot of people, they get saved, and they think, huh, I'm saved now, boy. I'm going to be the best Christian that has ever been. And 2 days later, you done messed up. I've seen preachers preach under the anointing in the pulpit, and Monday, they mess up. So it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or whether you just got saved. I'm just telling you, we all need it. We need him. We need him. We need his touch. We need his grace. He will do it. He will sanctify me wholly. He will preserve me blameless. And that's coming on the next benefit. You don't want to miss next week. Now to him that's able to present you faultless. Oh, good gracious, don't miss next Sunday night. But I'm here to tell you, he will do it. And I just want to extrapolate, put the word it with whatever you need. Faithful is he that calleth you, and he will do it. Do you need a healing? He'll do it. Do you need a deliverance? Turn around and tell somebody, he will do it. If you need direction in your life, he will do it. If you need the way maker, I'll tell you, he is a way maker. He is a pain taker. He is a prison door opener. I want you to know, what's that song you sang, Darnell? He's a chain breaker. Whatever you need, he will do it. Pastor, if we need something in the church, I'm here to tell you, my brother, he will do it. Somebody shout glory. Whatever it is, whatever you need, whatever prisons you're facing, whatever challenges, blessed is he, faithful is he that calleth you, he will do it. Give him a hand of faith and praise. I am beyond blessed. That's where integrity comes in. That's where he does it. And I'm closing, but in the Everglades of Florida, and you can stand, because if you stand, I'll quit a lot quicker. Just get ready to play in just a second. Aren't you glad he'll do it? In the Florida Everglades, there's a plant called the lotus. Now listen to this. I got studying on the lotus. I wish I had a picture of it. Its seed is trapped deep within the muck and mire of the water. And it actually grows through all the mud and all the muck and the dark water past the scum. Yet when it comes out on the surface, it's remarkably white. It's a shiny, pristine white. And then bugs try to get on it and dirt flies through the atmosphere, but yet it stays white. It's been a marvel of scientists how in that mud and that muck from the seed going through all of that, how it remains so white. Well, I don't have the answers to that, but I do have this answer. The God of peace will sanctify you wholly and preserve your spirit, soul, and body blameless. You can remain white and pure. There it is. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. You can remain white and pure in a world of sickness and sin and the muck. Is that what your desire? Folks, this is not a self-righteous thing. I want to live holy before the Lord. I want to be pleasing to Him, number one. And I want to be a witness to a world that it can be done. Now, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands towards me. And then we're going to pray. Will you receive the benediction? Put 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 back up there, if you would. Thumbs up. And read it out loud with me. As you proclaim it over me, I proclaim it over you. Receive the benediction. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise tonight.
Jesus, I surrender
all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Everybody sing,
I surrender.